of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott, this is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this month. can I put it that way? She's on assignment this month. You know, it's not today. It's this month. So, hey, good morning, everybody. It's the 21st of April. It's 7:05 in the morning, and the news is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage out there. There are frontline troops in this battle against COVID-19. And I can't say enough about our first responders.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Boy, it's not, you know, Shasta Regional. I think all the patients are going to Shasta Regional, but Dignity is, they're in this thing too. And
Everybody's in this.
And
both hospitals are fired up for it. I've worked with Partnership Health Plan, and we've, you know, all the things that go along with that. And the hospitals are in great shape. They're running about 60% capacity now. They've got plenty of room to handle it. They've got all the ventilators they need. They got the stuff. And then we've got this extra little thing downtown if there's an overflow.
It's called a mesh unit.
Yeah, and that's going to be that is an interesting setup.
In case you're wondering who this is, it's Randall Hempling. He's my co-host today, and I didn't get a chance to introduce him. But here's a guy who used to run Shasta Regional. He runs the Partnership Health Plan.
I was the chairman of the board for the last 2 years, and now I'm simply on several committees, and I'm on the board representing the county.
But you used to run it.
Well,
oh, come on.
Fiduciary responsibility for it and does a good job of managing this.
I want to talk about that, get into that, too. Yeah. But anyway, hey, it's 7:07 in the morning, and the what's the weather look like here, amiga?
We are looking at a high of 81 degrees today, so slightly lower than our expected high, as stated yesterday, but we're 45 degrees outside right now, so but it's nice and clear, and it's going to warm up quickly, so maybe just a light sweater today. But we will have a slight chance of showers tomorrow. If you were at least in South Reading yesterday, we got a little bit of rain. It was fantastic. But we are looking at warming up for the rest of the week into the weekend with a high of 86 on Friday and a high of 87 on Saturday.
Okay. Well, thank you. And the weather's brought to you. Excuse me. And the weather's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Shasta Gas Propane out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business, a small business. But it's very, very successful. It's won awards for hiring veterans, state-level awards.
Yep.
And they're the ones that went out and fed the Veterans Clinic last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, all three sections of the VA clinic. Said they just appreciated what they were doing out there. And we appreciate Chuck and Judy Kenny. The propane, all your propane needs, discounts for seniors and veterans, 365-3793. Randall Hempling is here with me, and I could go through his whole resume, but then the show would be over. I mean, the man's done everything.
I've had a hard scrabble life.
I've bounced about
lots of different things in my life.
You've done everything from drive trucks to run large hospitals to gamble.
In the bowling alley.
Gamble professionally and ride a Harley across country twice without a windshield.
Yeah.
And now that may not mean a lot to people who've never
bug-licious.
Who have never ridden a motorcycle, but riding clear cross country without a windshield, and it was a Springer at that.
Yeah, Heritage Springer's a beautiful bike.
And twice. And then the first time
was circumnavigated. That was 7,887 miles a month.
And not having a windshield, you must have enjoyed that experience.
Yeah, well, going through the South with June bugs is like, you know, rifle fire. It's pretty rugged.
June bugs. What are those? Those green ones, right?
No, the June bugs are little brown devils. Ones? They fly, and they're about the size of a 9mm.
What are the green hard shelled ones? Do you remember those?
I don't know. They're just
they were like a half an inch, maybe a little bigger.
Yeah.
And we would do is when we were kids, if you put a needle through its back in a thread and let them fly, you know, in the tail, and let them fly, you could like have two or three of them on strings flying. Like that. Weird, huh? I just remember that when you were talking about it.
I'm surprised they allow you to have pets.
Well, it wasn't like, yeah, you guys put a new, well.
Yeah, well, you need to talk to somebody about that.
Nobody, yeah. No, it just made me really good at what I did later in life.
Mm-hmm. According to Google,
yes.
A green hard-backed flying bug is a fig-eater beetle.
We call them something else, a fig-eater beetle.
Mm-hmm. Grow approximately 1.25 inches.
Yeah, and it flew.
Semi-glossy green.
Yeah.
Bright iridescent green on the underside
of
legs.
That's not what we call them, though. Fig. Oh, look, it's a fig-eater beetle. Anyway, so, Randall, I kind of see your comments on Facebook, and well, I do see your comments on Facebook, and it's usually about commenting about something else people put in there.
I like to fact check what other people put in there.
I know.
If you send me something, I will fact check it. I fact check everything before I send it out, and I don't just fact check from a liberal source or any other. I use several different screens to fact check them, and then I make corrections. And I'm usually very gentle about it. I say this. This is not a fact, and it's relatively easy to fact check and try to get people to.
You haven't called people names.
Never call anybody a name.
I see things like that, and we try really hard here not to put something out. Because,
and
the same thing on, I'll see things passed, and I just look at them, and I think, how could people believe this?
Yeah.
I mean, and it doesn't have to be with the COVID. It could be other things. And just, how can people believe this? And, so you go, well, not really, according to this statistic.
Yeah.
But my favorite one today is, look at Sweden. They've been open, and they're not having any more problems than their neighbors. Sweden's death rate is 10 times their neighbors, their Nordic neighbors who, Finland and Norway that are practicing it. Yeah. Sweden's kind of, open and all this, but they're dying off fast.
Yeah.
But when I see that, because they use Sweden, you just go check yesterday's news and you check from, like you do, you look from sources that says, wow. Yeah, they're open up, but they're dying.
Yeah, so I mean, it's it's very much like this movement now that people have gone to Sacramento and they've gone to other state capitals and they're complaining and demonstrating against the restrictions that we have right now, and saying that they're draconian and the like, and they're tough, they're really tough restrictions. But if you come off of this thing, people need to go back in history, and they keep talking about the Spanish flu. 1917.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we won the war, and the Spanish flu was in decline. So what did Philadelphia do? They held a big parade. And in the year 1918, it almost doubled the number of deaths from the Spanish flu because people went out and started hugging and kissing and doing all that, celebrating and thinking it was over. And it was spread by everybody, and we lost another, I don't know how many,
they used
thousands
as
of people
a,
because of it.
I had this lady on, you may have heard it, the one who wrote that, mm-hmm. Dr. Susan Tomes. And she wrote about 1918, and she talked about social distance, and then she talked about Philadelphia and Baltimore, who didn't, they did things like this, and their death rate was horrendous, or St. Louis. Who, they could see it coming at them because it was following the rail lines.
Yeah.
Did the social distancing, and they didn't have anything like.
Well, and we should take a lesson.
As did New York.
Yeah,
New
we should
York
take a lesson too. From that as well. Lately we haven't had a new case here in like 4 days, which is excellent.
Yeah, I've got the latest update.
Yeah,
today.
And it's, so now we're beginning to feel like, well, we don't have a problem. But if the state opens up, Dr. Gonzalez made an excellent point the other day. We're right on I-5, and it'll just flow up here. Might as well be a river. It'll flow up and it'll flow down,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be covered up with it again.
Let's take a quick break here. Randall Hempelin is my co-host today, and I wish I could tell you who's going to be on, but I'm not sure because I left my phone at home. I'm not going to mention any names, but we might be surprised today. It may be somebody that everybody wants to hear. Or then again, maybe not. Just it's Randall and I for 2 hours today talking about everything.
Can't be 2 hours. I have a date to go walking at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
So I'll be here now in 45 minutes.
Hour and 45 minutes. I can handle the last 15 by myself. Ashley, I'll let Ashley talk. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends over at Orchard Nutrition. Orchard Nutrition, one of the parts of staying healthy is eating healthy. Orchard Nutrition has 100% certified organic produce. They have produce there. I was there a couple of days ago picking up some stuff for making smoothies. They have all the vitamins and supplements there. But now they've changed their hours a little bit so that if you are in the group that's a little bit older, you can go there on Saturdays and shop earlier. The senior shopping hours are 7 to 8, Saturday and Sunday for seniors only. And public shopping hours go from, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Saturday and Sunday. Temporary store hours, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. daily. You get to grab and go. They've already got sandwiches made, salads. You just reach in, grab one, leave. Or you can order curbside service. Call in your order. Pay over the phone. They'll call you back when your order is ready. And you drive in, call them when you are there, show your ID, and they deliver the order to your trunk or your backseat, wherever you want the groceries at. They implore people, use the six foot of distancing. It helps keep people safe. That's Orchard Nutrition. Been around here since 1982. Orchard Nutrition is in the Cypress Square Shopping Center. We'll be right back. Randall Hemplin, Carl Bott, 7:16 in the morning and about 50 degrees out there.
With Free Fire Radio and Carl and Linda Bott, 7 to 9 a.m.
And then it's us, Armstrong and Getty, from 9 to 12.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Shasta College has been a vital part of this community for over 70 years. Look around. You probably know many of our successful graduates serving our community in high-demand, high-growth fields like nursing, law enforcement, accounting, communications, and agriculture. Summer enrollment is happening now. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply to enroll for the summer semester. Classes start June 8th. Looking for a transfer? Save money and time by spending your first 2 years at Shasta College before you transfer to a university. High school students, summer is the perfect time to earn college credit with no tuition cost. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
No tuition costs. Call 242-7500 or go online at shastacollege.edu/apply.
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
This ad is not from HUD or FHA and was not approved by HUD or any government agency. Consumers remain responsible for property taxes, homeowners insurance, and home maintenance. Premium is an equal housing lender. This is not a commitment to lend. Rich Pinnell, branch manager. NMLS number 1067640. PRMI NMLS 3094.
Let's talk about reverse mortgages for a moment. If you are 62 or older and have equity in your home, a reverse mortgage could be a tool for your retirement. For those cash-strapped retirees or those looking for an additional source of income, this is the answer. A reverse mortgage could eliminate your mortgage payment. Another benefit, extend the life of your existing retirement cash. A reverse mortgage isn't for everyone, but when you call Rich Pinnell of Primary Residential Mortgage, Rich can counsel you to see if this is a fit for you. If it fits, then life just got easier for you. You see, Rich Pinnell and Primary Residential Mortgage specialize in reverse mortgages. Rich's experience in this specialized field is why so many people have benefited from a reverse mortgage. Call Primary Residential Mortgage. They're happy to help. 530-722-4579. Or go to rich4reverses.com. That's rich, the number 4, reverses.com.
Hear us streaming 24/7 at kcnr1460.com.
That's our theme song for the CB19. Can't touch this. Welcome back, Free Fire Radio. Carl Bott and Randall Hempeliner here at 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567. We've got like an open hour here. So we're going to be discussing a number of different things, and COVID probably is going to be a lot of it, but other things, if you've got something you want to talk about, give us a call, 605-4567. This portion of the show brought to you by Clyde's Enterprises, the original and still the best. If you call Clyde's at 221-4144, he answers the phone. Now, he could be just be going into his phone at home, but we did, we were able to order, a new screen for, doing some of the work here, and that we're going to be able to, get that. Over 47 years in the business locally, 32 years in the satellite business, your source for Dish Network and an authorized dealer for Sony, Samsung, LG, Klipsch, and Bose. All this at Clyde's Enterprises, 1250 Hartnell Avenue. Randall and I are here. Randall, here's some of the latest statistics. The number of COVID-19 cases remained at 26. Good.
Here in Shasta County.
Yeah, at Shasta County. That's good news. Of those cases, those three patients have died. I think all three of them had underlying mitigating things here. 20 have recovered, including one new recovery Monday. There's not been a new case of coronavirus since last Thursday. 11 people in quarantine, another 3 in isolation Monday. There were 100 new coronavirus tests conducted in Shasta County on Monday.
We've been very short of tests, by the way.
Yeah, we'd asked for 3,000. We got like 100 or something.
Yeah, that's national. Mm-hmm. The national government, President Trump, would like to say we have all the tests we need. No, we do not. And a test is more than just a machine. You have to have reagents. You have to have all the manner and mechanism to garner it. We will get there. But it's one of those things. We don't know how many people have actually had it, had antibodies. I'd like to be tested for antibodies because in January I had some of the symptoms, all but the fever. I had the cough that went deep and stayed for quite a while. I might have had it.
I asked him. You remember back in November, December, that flu that was going around that hung on? I asked one of the doctors if that was, could that have possibly been COVID? And he said no. He says, that wasn't it. Because the people that came in were checked for different things. They knew what it was.
They test you for A and B. And we've already had a spike of flu A and flu B. They normally come sometimes together, but a lot of times just kind of in tandem or tag team each other. And I've had, a couple of years ago I got the flu shot, and then I got the flu, but a very mild case of the flu because mm-hmm. I'd had the flu shot. But you never know. We don't know how many people have had it. I mean, they just showed up in L.A. that they're extrapolating some of the data that there have been many, many more people that have been infected, which means all that tells you is this is a much more infectious disease than they even thought. It's a horribly infectious disease, but that not everybody dies. But if you infected everybody in the United States, given the rates that we have now, you'd lose a few million people if everybody got it.
If everybody got it.
If everybody got it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, but when you look at that, but you're taking into account if everybody got it, that would be every person of every age group.
Yeah.
And so you hear from that, you lose like 30,000 a year for flu.
Yeah.
I have a friend that put something on, he put something out yesterday that said essentially, we had 30,000 people, 35,000 people die last year, but we've already had 40 plus thousand people die from the COVID in a month and a half.
Yeah.
And how much more deadly it is. So if you look at it, we had 40,000. Well, we have 40,000 people die over a month and a half
yeah.
from this. And then you'll hear people say, Well, but they're counting everything because somebody will say, oh, we're just putting on COVID-19. I mean, yeah,
they can't do that. The coroners have to assign a reason, a manner of death. I mean, they must, and it has to be reported. Mm-hmm. So it's not just they're 70 years old and they died and they had some pneumonia, so it had to come from this. No, they have to.
And from what I understand, when this gets into your lungs, I was told that MRI, when they look at it, I mean, this is a one-of-a-kind thing.
Yeah, normally they do even a chest X-ray or a CAT scan. It shows up. It's what's called broken glass.
Yeah.
It looks like a whole bunch of shattered glass in one or both lungs. And apparently it does some permanent damage, and now they're saying that because of the oxygen being depleted in your brain for a period of time, that's causing other kinds of neurological problems. My biggest fear is they came out with these projections, and the projections are just that. You put in X data, and you're going to get some kind of Y response out of it. Well, now we're saying, hey, we're doing much less than what they said. Remember, a couple weeks ago, mm-hmm. it was going to be at a minimum of 100,000 people die, and now it's 46. Still might get to 100,000, keep in mind, because we're going up 5 or 6 every day. They're going to say, see, we didn't need to do all these draconian things because, we didn't get to the 100,000. We didn't get to the million deaths. But the point is that these mitigation efforts that we're doing is the primary reason that it is as low as it is. It's at 45,000 or whatever the real number is today because of the mitigation. It would have been significantly higher. But it's very difficult to prove a negative. So you're going to have people that are going to go out there and say, see, we didn't need to do these terrible things. We didn't need to put people out of work. We didn't need to go spend what's going to be over $6 trillion of found money. And thank God for the Fed. I mean, it's the Fed that's saving the country. The Fed, not the government. Everybody thinks the government can print money. The government can't.
But the Fed can.
And the Fed has gone out and they've bought bonds. They've backed up things. They've made sure that the loans were guaranteed. They've done a marvelous job in this.
As of today from the CDC, 746,000 over, almost 747,000 cases, 39,083, so almost 40,000 deaths, and total jurisdictions, 55. That includes District of Columbia, Guam, Northern, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But they're saying out of this, total cases include 1,696 probable cases, and total deaths include 4,700 probable deaths. So yeah. Out of that group, there are some questions. But still,
Those they find at home,
yeah.
For instance.
But still, you're still talking at 34,000 deaths in a month and a half.
Yeah.
You know, much more than the flu.
Yeah, we don't see it around here so much, and so we don't have relatives here so much that have been affected. But if you're back east or somebody. If you're in New York City, you know somebody, or Boston or Detroit.
Something like 20,000 police are infected with this in New York.
Yeah, and that all comes from touching people.
Mm-hmm.
I visited the medical staff officer at Shasta Regional yesterday. Mm-hmm. The medical staff officer is the one who manages the physician committees and these things, and they operate in an office alone.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one or two other staff that are distant from them. And it turns out that within Prime, the four in the Southern California hospitals, because the lady here runs all of them, mm-hmm. they have four of the medical staff officers get the coronavirus. And they don't come in contact with patients. They come in contact with doctors. So what you have is doctors that are working with patients, then they'll take their gear off and they'll go sit down with the medical staff officer, and now the medical staff officer gets infected. And you've got a doctor who, for all practical purposes, has done all the right things, but then forgets that they're a carrier. When they're in the hospital, they're a carrier.
In California, as of Sunday, healthcare workers made up 3,584 of the total cases.
Yeah, yeah, they're most vulnerable. They're right up there. They're just targets.
Yep.
So it's really I wouldn't say anger, but it upsets me when you see people say, "Oh, this is nothing," and then they are putting all of these people, particularly police, fire, they put all these people at risk when they go out and show no respect for this virus, because this virus doesn't respect us.
You know, and the we got to take a break here, but when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about what Danelle Ewert said yesterday about how this is going to open up And the fact is that we're kind of blessed up here being in the North State, as Dr. Gonzalez said. People come up here anyway because we don't like being stacked on each other. And you know, a lot of it is we like to do things on our own anyway. We're, you know, a lot of independent people up here.
Yeah.
Five counties without a case of it, you know, up in Northern California. Maybe they haven't been tested, or maybe they just don't have it up in, you know, in Lassen County or Modoc County, but there's only six people in Modoc County, so I guess they would know right away.
And I think they're all highway patrolmen.
But that's interesting. But how this would kind of look if on May 1st they start, you know, using the guidelines, how this would look. And I'd like to get your feedback on that. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cornerstone Community Bank. Jeff Fink was in here yesterday, the president and CEO of Cornerstone, and he talked about how this hit the banks, how this is, you know, I mean, overwhelming. But that Cornerstone Community Bank in 2018 did a board exercise about what happens if a pandemic hits us. Actually did something like this where they knew that 70% of their people are going to be working from home, that what did the internet protocols look like, what did the secure lines look like, and from that they put in another system so that their people could work from home. The only thing they had to do was turn it on and, you know, let them have access to it. So that's one of the things that helped Cornerstone Community Bank. It was interesting to see that banks even do pandemic
You don't think about it.
You don't think about it.
You only think about it in terms of health care.
You don't. Yeah. So, anyway, they are still open for business at 1845 California Street, of course, and 192 Hartnell Avenue. And you can also visit them online at bankcornerstone.com. They're still moving dreams forward. Ask people who have gone in there for that PPP how they're moving dreams forward. They've been very successful with that. Anyway, 7:31, it's 50 degrees today, and it's going to be a beautiful day here on the 21st of April. We'll be right back.
Let's see. Coffee, got it. Radio, dialed in, check. Showtime for Armstrong and Getty.
That's right. Join us 9 to 12, KCNR Mornings.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Alan Gordon here, Coach Master Collision. Thankfully, it appears that Coach Master Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coach Master is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
In these uncertain times, do you need a much-needed break from cooking? If so, let Mary's Pizza Shack take care of you with their to-go delivery, curbside pickup. Mary's is offering to-go beer and wine at a special discounted rate. And as always, they have their famous pizza, pasta, soups, and salads. Open Sunday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Friday and Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. From Mary's family to yours, please be safe.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
If it's someone who has something to say about the North State, you'll hear it here.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios, KCNR, 96.5 FM at 1460 AM, your talk radio, 605-4567, 7:35 in the morning here, 48 degrees, going up to 81 today, and this portion of the show is brought to you by a business that isn't open right now. It's Four Winds Jewelry, 2225 Hilltop Drive, the only full-service jewelry store in Redding. The day they open up, I'll be there, because I owe Linda something. After being locked up with me for 6 weeks. I mean, something. I'm not sure what it is, but I'm sure Rebecca will find something. She, as I walk through the door, she'll hand me something. She'll go, Linda likes this. She's, you know, I've seen her look at it before, 6 weeks ago. And that'll be enough. I'll just get it, turn around, go back home, deliver it, because she deserves it, being locked up with me. Four Winds Jewelry. I'm here with Randall Himpelin, who is a friend and one of the smartest guys I know.
Thank you.
I know a lot of smart guys, but you're right up there.
Don't stop. Stop.
Hey, Randall, Danelle, you were on yesterday.
Yeah.
And
Danelle, by the way, does a wonderful job for this county. He is a sharp fellow, and he's dedicated, very dedicated.
Very dedicated. And I said, so what's it look like? Could one may be that based on the guidelines that the governor's put out? And, you know, that the cases are dropping or they're staying the same. We have the medical personnel in place for, you know, for if something happened. Some of the others are distancing. You know, that goes on. That we have enough testing kits. You know, there's a, you know, yeah, six things there. And he said, yeah, he says, if we meet all those requirements, we could start easing the restrictions. Now, you had something we talked about before the show about a parachute.
Yeah.
And your analogy on that was?
Well, easing too soon because things are going well, like they're trying to do in Georgia and they've done some in Florida and they're trying
opening
to
the
demand,
beaches.
Yeah, opening things up. It's like jumping out of an airplane with a parachute, and you're halfway down, and you pull the chute, and the chute is just working perfectly, and it slowed your descent. So, hey, you're doing okay, so now let's take a chute off.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
it's the exact analogy.
And that's what this is going to be, is it's going to be a slow opening. So if things start increasing again, they can ratchet it back.
Yeah, that's
down.
Exactly where it should be.
You know, businesses open up. They've got to have the social distancing. Gyms open up with the social distancing, even bars.
Yeah.
The social distancing and limiting the number of people they have in there, those kind of things. But again, watching to see what happens if there's an uptick.
Yeah.
Because as many people know, you could have it and show no symptoms.
That's true.
But you could spread it.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can very, very easily spread it. And I would imagine that some places, and there are some places that are fairly well set for opening on a slow opening. So I'll just use the example of Sierra Gibbs. They have an outdoor patio. And if I'm going to, and so does Mosaic over at Turtle Bay. And a couple of other places have some outdoor facility. When I go to the restaurant, I'm going to want to sit outside.
Right.
So I can have fresh air, fresh circulating air that's, you know, not necessarily circulating from the table next to me.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a little warm, but if they've got misters or whatever, that's the way I will do it for a while. until they
View 202.
Yeah,
they have outdoor dining. View 202.
I would eat outdoors. I'd go to and even for some of the fast food places have outdoor settings. I would tend to do that, and that's just me.
Hamburger.
Yeah,
Hamburger does. Yeah. Or you could pick up your lunch again, and maybe go down to the river, sit on one of the chairs down there or benches down there if it's not already been taken by several people.
Yeah, we're going at least once a week and getting a takeout meal from a different restaurant. So.
At lunch here, we walk to our local places around here and do a takeout. Sandwichery is still open. I think from the Hearth you can pick up stuff. Places.
Yeah, they're doing a great job.
Yeah,
and the food's still good.
Food's still good. Yeah. Let's go to the phones. Nick, good morning.
Hey, it is a good morning. You know, a couple weeks ago I said I was going to quit calling so much, but I feel like I need to call. The first thing you guys said is if we get it. You know, Fauci and Bricks, they came out and said that everybody is going to get it. There's no stopping this virus. And I keep hearing, you know, Carl, all you have is these people that are buying into this, and you're not having anybody on that's saying that has a different opinion, has different research going on, that has a different point of view. I think you should have Lori Bridgeford on. She does a lot of investigation. She has other ideas. You know, there's people and I think that the government has said also that this is a man-made virus. And that, it mutates and we're not going to be able to stop it. We've got other people that don't trust the government. I myself have caught two supervisors lying, as well as somebody else that's influential in the decision-making on this. And we don't trust the government. And you keep having these people on that are saying that we've got to stay locked down, we've got to keep our people at home to keep from doing this. And, you know, we've got other people that think that this is man-made and being pushed to crash the economy to get Trump out of office. And you need to get some other people on. I'd come on. Terry Raposa would come on. Mark Kent would come on. Richard Guerrero would come on. Matt from that's been on Sunday would come on. They're all well-spoken. And you need to get some other views on instead of this same view.
Well, we have those other views on Sundays, right, on those shows?
Hey, you're listening.
Isn't
listening on Sundays all the time. Oh. A lot of them are church-going people. I know they can look it up on archives, but they don't get to it.
They're not going to church now.
Oh, that's real funny.
Well, it's not funny.
You know, that's another thing. The government, the world government, they're taking church away from us. They're affecting our rights, our God-given rights, with a man-made virus in a lot of people's opinions.
And when we say a lot of opinions there, Nick, are we talking about scientists that have been studying this or saying it's a man-made virus?
Well, Stanford University came out and said that 50 times more people have been infected than what the statistics are saying. You even mentioned that this waters down the death rate. Yes, there's a lot of scientific research that opposes what your guest views have been. And that about the parachute, I think that's ridiculous.
Why?
Who's going to pull their parachute off?
Well, nobody. And see, I think that was
And you know what? Gavin Newsom has already said that this is, let's take advantage of this pandemic and change the government. You've got Eric Holder and Kamala Harris says this is a good time to change our voting policies, to change the way we vote.
Oh, I didn't say I agreed with that.
Well, I didn't accuse you of agreeing with it, but you certainly haven't had anybody on that will oppose these ideas and tie them into the coronavirus and where all this is going.
Well,
You've pretty much had on the government's point of view, and let's keep it at that. From what I took from Donnell yesterday is he'd like to keep us locked down to the elections, and I know which party he leans towards.
No, that's not what he said yesterday.
That's the way I interpret it.
He said that he would like to see, starting in May, that we start opening up if we meet the criteria that's been given by the
CDC.
Yes, he did. He said it right here.
We meet the criteria.
Nick, I was sitting here next to him, and he said May 1st. If we meet the criteria, we ought to be looking at it. But again, though, it comes from the state of California.
Yeah,
it comes from the state of California.
He wants to no-toe to Newsom, and Newsom's not going to turn nothing loose.
Well,
in my opinion. We need some local leaders that will stand up and tell them what we're going to do.
Well, there isn't one in the Board of Supervisors or the City Council that thinks that we should just open it up and go back to work.
That's because they're not leaders.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Nick.
Bye.
Bye. There is, but see, Nick is one of the ones, and there's many across the United States that believe in this.
That's right.
And I have no problem listening to it.
They have an absolute right to that opinion.
And the thing about it is that the difference is if we did that, you know, again, I go back to that death rate for a month and a half, essentially, you know, when this thing really started kicking off, what the death rate looks like now. And I am not a scientist, but I do go to people that are studying this stuff like the CDC. And, you know, is Trump right all the time? Obviously not. And is Newsom right all the time? Obviously not. Are there things that they're trying to add in here that have nothing to do with the COVID-19? Yes.
Yeah.
But I also look at the, you know, the fact is that we've been able to slow this thing down by this. And I don't know if people are advocating that we just lift it. You know, I mean, if people have got it already, which everybody knows, they have never been tested.
Yeah.
That they have the antibodies, what it's going to look like.
And they don't know yet whether the antibody is going to absolutely make you immune going forward. And it's just like a flu. We have a natural immunity. Everybody has a natural immunity to the flu, but the flu changes, and that's why we get a vaccine every year. And only about 50% of the people will get a shot. And the shot is about 50, the what they call the meta is about 56 to 60% effective, which means of those people who get a shot, it does a pretty good job. The rest, it slows down if they do get the flu. And some people who get the shot even die. You know, it's just like anything else. But it's all a matter of enough people so that the virus either gives up or mutates. And it's you know, it's going to be a problem for some period of time. We don't know. We just don't know what we don't know. In most cases, that's why every day, you know, I watch the president's news conference every day, where they bring out new information, and they're talking about all the various things that they're finding that this thing affects, and that it's real. You know, you can't sit and say, well, you know, let's get other people with different opinions. The only other opinion is that it's not real. You know, if anything scientific is going to say, yeah, we got a real problem out there and we need to deal with it. How we deal with it is a matter of conjecture. But you can't say that we don't have a virus. And the idea that it was man-made, that's pretty well been disproven.
And one of the things about our 24 hours a day of news cycles, and everybody has opinions and puts things on there, is the fact that you're going to see opinions. I don't. If we're, you know, if we're 90% right about COVID-19, if we're 90% right for COVID-19, we've got to take a break, then we've saved a lot of lives.
Yeah.
And we know that it's killing people. We know it's very contagious. But if you've got people that are saying, well, it's like the flu, but it's not like the flu, that's been proven. And it's been proven that if we can flatten the curve, like they did sometimes during the Spanish flu that killed over 600,000 people, that works. And it's just really tough.
Yeah.
But it's really tough. It's destroying businesses. Suicides going up. And we come back, I want to talk about, because you're on the board of One Safe Place, the impact it's having on that, on domestic violence.
Yeah.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. All your insurance and financial needs under one roof. They're working, you know, they too have been working from home, talking to their customers. And if you need some questions asked about, what about health insurance? What about, your homeowner's insurance during all this? People seem to, you know, some people are having to make that decision of whether to have, to cut their home insurance or keep their mortgage paid on their house or other things. Give them a call at 221-0441. Talk to Judy or any of her people. They've been doing this since 1993, helping families, seniors, business owners, and veterans. Maxwell Insurance and Financial. We'll be right back.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. If you're 50 or older, now is the time to schedule this life-saving test. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%, so stop making excuses and get screened. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribbling's with Brent Weber, Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
If you're looking for the accountability of a personal trainer, the energy and camaraderie of a group, and a budget-conscious price tag, then our team training at Adamson's Peak Performance is for you. We've got your fitness needs covered with five types of time-efficient, 30-minute team training workouts. Mix and combine these challenging strength and conditioning sessions to enhance sports performance, build muscle, burn fat, and sculpt the body you've been dreaming of. AdamsonsPeakPerformance.com or call us at 221-8006.
Make this year turtly awesome with the Turtle Bay membership. Get free access to world-class exhibits, exciting animal shows, towering playgrounds, and much more. Family memberships are just $90. That's less than $10 a month for a whole year of fun. Get yours today at turtlebay.org.
The hotline is open on KCNR 1460, 530-605-4567.
Welcome back to FIFI Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, 7:53 in the morning here on the 21st, 49 degrees, almost 50, going up to 81 today. It's going to be beautiful. A little cloudy tomorrow, going up to 79, and then 82 on Thursday. This portion of the show brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Yes. There's been new records set as far as guns being bought in the United States. A lot of surprises out there when people would go in and say, wanting to buy a firearm and find out, one, they had to wait for 10 days. And then they had to go through another background check to buy ammo. A lot of people are surprised. And I don't think it's all Republicans buying guns. Because most of us already have guns.
Yeah.
I say Republicans, independents. Most of us have guns. You got guns. I think a lot of people are buying guns new. Well, you want to learn how to use them, and that's why Northern Firearms Instruction. They're still giving CCW classes, instruction on using your firearms. They do it. People are separated. Everybody is, you know, masked up on it, so that you're getting classes that are safe and outside. So that kind of helps too.
Yeah.
Learn more at usgunpro.com or give them a call at 999-1822. I'm here with Randall Hempling, and one of the fears of something like this is the rise in the domestic violence.
Yeah, that, I mean, and that is a real fear. Domestic violence is with us, and one of the nice things that we have in this community is we have, of course, One Safe Place and a law enforcement community that is really on top of it. They, you know, they do not ignore it. They treat it very, very seriously.
Well,
but when you have people now that are forced to be together, and they have limited income or no income, perhaps because one or both of them has lost their jobs. And then you add in the fact that the children are home, and you know, children get abused too. And the way most child abuse is spotted in mm-hmm. the community is done by our school teachers,
right,
and our healthcare professionals, because they're required by law to report anything that appears unusual. So that's not going on right now. When this thing opens up, I fear that when the kids go back to school, you're going to see a big spike right then.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully the people are not being horribly damaged and permanently damaged. I mean, there is a permanent aspect to any kind of abuse, but we need to be on watch for that.
Well,
you can still report it. If you think something's going on next door, you report it.
Yeah, the number of cases have dropped by 30%, according to the CDC, the chief of police, from last year. But that...
Yeah,
he said he doesn't know if that's because people haven't been reporting it, or is because people are at home so they can't have their houses broken into. But this thing goes right back into the domestic violence part too.
Yeah.
Well, something to take a look at. People are fired up about the other side of this here, the corrupt CDC, HHS, NIH. Recycling from government to Big Pharma, and Bill Gates is their master. I'm not sure where that falls under the scientific part of the community.
I don't believe it falls under scientific, but it certainly falls under an ideological belief, and that's people have a right to their beliefs.
Yeah. Well, I was just thinking about, when you do things here, when you're trying you're looking at things and that you neglect to write something down.
Right.
How that comes back some days and bites you in the butt. my butt's been bitten today. So.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my, at something that, I plan things, but I plan them on one calendar and they don't get to my other calendar.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting today. I guess the last thing would be, before this hour's out, is the other side of this, that we should open it up faster and faster. We will. We'll have somebody on for that.
Yeah.
And we need to. And we need to, because, you know, people like Nick feel, you know, they feel free to call in, or other people are, you know, coming in on the chat room and all this. But I still, it's kind of one of these things that if it seems to be working, you have to believe that this isn't a government conspiracy or conspiracy by people.
Well, if it's a government conspiracy, it's a conspiracy of like 191 countries.
Yeah, and that's the
world.
It's not just, if it was just here, but nowhere else. And I'd say that that's strange that we're probably the best. We've got some of the best health care in the world right here.
Yeah.
And we see other countries that are going through this, and their death rates are horrendous.
Yeah. Our big problem is that we're fighting among ourselves, and we're sentient beings. We all have brains mm-hmm. and ability to think, and we're trying to figure out how to fight this war against an enemy that is not alive. You understand that a virus is not a living organism. It's just a reproductive protein. It doesn't have a brain. It doesn't have anything other than itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's designed to be a parasite. It doesn't think. It's not plotting against us. It's just surviving against us and is trying to kill us.
to its own detriment. If it were a thinking being, it would you know, get a few and stay alive and these kind of things.
Keep going on for years.
It would harvest us. But no, it's trying to kill us all.
Hey, we got to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. We have a deal, and I think we'll pass it today. The words of Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer talking about a $450 billion coronavirus aid package for small businesses, along with more help for hospitals and virus testing. Although Schumer tells CNN that staffers are still dotting the I's and crossing the T's. Zachary Davis says his small business, the Penny Ice Creamery in Santa Cruz, California, is teetering on the brink.
I don't really know. I mean, we're working through a couple different scenarios. You know, one is, what if we have to completely close? And that's a very real possibility. You know, we just might not make it through this.
Georgia, South Carolina, and Tennessee, among states preparing to reopen parts of their economies. President Trump says that's encouraging.
At a time when millions of American workers and families are struggling with the financial consequences of the virus, it's critical to continue the medical war while reopening the economy in a safe and responsible fashion.
Mr. Trump planning to close the door on immigration for the time being. The president writes on Twitter, in light of the attack from the invisible enemy, as well as the need to protect the jobs of our great American citizens, I will be signing an executive order to temporarily suspend immigration into the United States. South Korea's government says North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un appears to be handling state affairs as usual, following unconfirmed rumors describing him as being in grave condition after surgery. Used home sales plunged 8.5% last month compared to February as real estate activity stalled because of the coronavirus, and this year's Scripps National Spelling Bee has fallen victim to the pandemic. It has been canceled. On Wall Street, stocks are sharply lower. The Dow is down 517 points, the NASDAQ off 294. More on these stories at townhall.com.
This is an important coronavirus update from the nonprofit Global Healthy Living Foundation. Do you or a loved one live with a chronic illness? If so, you and your family may be at a higher risk for contracting the COVID-19 coronavirus. The Global Healthy Living Foundation has made free information and support available for your protection and well-being. Go to ghlf.org to enroll in their free patient support program to get updates and information related to the coronavirus outbreak. Protect yourself and your family. Visit ghlf.org today.
Hi, this is Dennis Prager, and we just launched a new Pragertopia membership called Pragertopia Unlimited. Members can listen to any and all audio programs that are in the Dennis Prager store. That's over 400 programs to choose from. Show segments, talks, lectures, courses, even full access to all 5 books of my Torah teaching. For a limited time, an annual Pragertopia Unlimited membership is only $119. Join Pragertopia Unlimited today. Go to Pragertopia.com.
Brazil's top prosecutor asking the country's Supreme Court to launch an inquiry into last weekend's anti-democracy rally. Brazil's president addressed hundreds of supporters demanding a return of military rule.
Mr. Bolsonaro, a former army captain, has always praised the role played by the military between 1964 and 1985. He has dismissed human rights violations as collateral damage and said the armed forces had saved Brazil from the threat of communism. On Sunday, he joined hundreds of people in a protest against perceived bias against his government. Mr. Arias said organizers and participants may have breached the national security law and the Constitution.
The BBC's Leonardo Rocha. Already on the edge of financial collapse, the pandemic forcing Australia's second-largest airline into bankruptcy, Virgin Australia is now seeking bankruptcy protection. News and analysis at townhall.com. The Supreme Court says non-unanimous jury convictions in criminal trials are unconstitutional.
Writing for the majority, Justice Neil Gorsuch says the Sixth Amendment's guarantee of an impartial jury is closely linked to a unanimous verdict. He says it's clear from the way juries were handled in the founding era, whether in common law, state practice, or opinions and writings. The ruling will impact only one state. Oregon is a lone holdout where a guilty verdict can override the dissent of up to two jurors. It will also overturn a 2016 murder conviction for a man in Louisiana, where under state law at the time, he was convicted of murder in a 10-2 decision. By Agnew reporting.
Relatives of four passengers killed in a helicopter crash with Kobe Bryant and his daughter have joined the NBA star's widow, filing a wrongful death lawsuit against the companies that owned and operated the aircraft. Once again on Wall Street this hour, the Dow down 519 points. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM with Carl and Linda Bott. Now, Linda's been on assignment this month, and my co-host today is Randall Hempling, at least for the next 30 or 45 minutes. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and today's the 21st of April, 8:05 in the morning. News brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring compassion, caring compassion community and courage. They're in our front line out there fighting the COVID-19. And I have another guest in here today, Dr. Mark Pierce. I'll get to Dr. Pierce in a second. He's been one that's been doing the COVID-19 testing. But Ashley, what's the weather look like?
We are looking at about 50 degrees outside today, and it'll be sunny, mostly clear throughout the entire day, just a couple of clouds just to make it pretty and spring-like. We will have a high of 81. That'll go down a little bit tomorrow with a slight chance of showers, but we will be going back up throughout the rest of the week. We're looking at a high of 86 on Friday and a high of 87 on Saturday.
Okay. Weather reports brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. You can give them a call at 365-3793. They have discounts for seniors and veterans. Good morning. Welcome back. The chat room is alive here, saying is that there's more to the story than keeping people under wraps. And, you know, I think that, you know, where people can call in and talk. I think next week I will. I'll have somebody in that thinks that the COVID-19 virus is overblown. Maybe not overblown, but all the things about it. But I read a lot of things in here that it's between the pharmacy, the corrupt Big Pharma, and the corrupt HHS, and the corrupt CDC, and these things. And I think I'm more into the fact of saying that, well, I don't know if they're corrupt or not. But I do see, you know, what I read about in this COVID is that it is a very serious virus that kills a lot of people. And how do you handle something like this? And I think we're stepping our way through it. But there's always another side to this. I'll open up an hour next week to have somebody come in that can talk about this. But I'm here also with, besides Randall Hempling, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, knows a little bit about it. And
Was. Happily retired.
Happily retired. And then you were the chairman of the board for the Partnership Health Plan.
Yep.
That helps people that are on Medicare or Medicaid.
Medi-Cal
here in the state, and managed to save millions of dollars while you were doing it, so money could go back to the patients.
Yep.
On that. And then I have Dr. Mark Pierce here. And Dr. Pierce, of course, owns and has the Hilltop Clinics, and two clinics in town, one at Hilltop and the other one on Eureka. And you're the one that tested the very first COVID-19 patient. Is that true?
That's correct. Trying to think of how long ago it was, about a month ago, out in the parking lot on the Eureka Way Clinic. She was one of the people that was on the cruise ship, and her acquaintance there had the virus, but she tested negative. And it's been an interesting path since then. Of course, a number of weeks have gone by, and we've done a lot more tests. And so far, Reading has been relatively safe, I think, from the COVID virus. All you have to do is just look at the hospitals. When the virus starts to really flare up, the hospitals fill up and the intensive cares fill up. And I think in terms of people who are skeptical, that's really the hard data, the number of people who have died and the number of people who are in the hospital. And that part is pretty undeniable. Yes, the flu does kill a lot of people, but we're going to lose more in a few months than a whole flu season. So this is serious. How serious and how you gauge that personally is your own concept. If you're older, you're a little bit more worried. If you're younger, perhaps not as much. But when you start to look at the data, a lot of young people have been taken as well by this virus.
And they are vectors. They will be out, you know, partying, and then they will go visit their mother and grandmother, and therein lies the problem.
We're also worried about people not taking care of their regular health care problems. All of the hospitals, the emergency rooms, our clinic is down about 50% in terms of volume. And so we're worried that people aren't refilling their meds, and it's very critical to take care of yourself at this time so that you're in optimum health conditions so that the virus doesn't affect you as much if you're unfortunate enough to get in its way. Right now it's seasonal allergy time, and that's a lot of camouflage for us. So we want people to take care of their allergies. So don't neglect ongoing health care problems while you're hunkered down and staying safe at home.
Well, you know, when you say that, the emergency rooms are almost empty in most of the hospitals. And I'm not just talking about right here in Reading. We're talking down in Long Beach and other spots across the country, Albuquerque and others, that people are not going to the emergency rooms. In fact, the emergency rooms are almost like emergency rooms should be used. You know, somebody comes in with a broken leg or something like this, as opposed to using it as their health care system. But because they were using it as their health care system, they're not being seen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how this bill works out for the insurance companies, because obviously they're putting out a lot less money for regular care now and a lot more money for the viral, the COVID infection. So, but don't neglect. That's one of the key messages. Most of the doctors are now doing telemedicine. They'll talk to you on the phone and determine if it's essential for you to come into the office. And I like this concept of telemedicine. I've been a little skeptical of, you know, calling into someone that lives in a different part of the world and getting health care advice, or different part of the United States. But you still can now can talk to your local doctor who knows your story. And at Hilltop Clinics, if we think that you need to come in, then we invite you in. If we can treat you on the phone, then we take care of it that way. So don't neglect. You can do it safely still using telemedicine.
Yeah, Linda used that, and they were using I forget which system that is that you can, you know, use in with the screen.
Yes.
And it goes through, and it's a secure video or a screen that you can talk to your doctor way, as opposed to just being on the phone.
Body language is really important. You can really get a lot of information. Plus, when you just talk on the phone, you tend to talk over each other. You can see when it's your turn to talk, and it seems to go a little bit more efficiently. So,
is this something that will change maybe the way you do medicine?
Well, it's going to be totally dependent on the insurance companies, because up until now, Medicare did not allow it unless you were rural, and a lot of insurance companies wouldn't pay for it, and or they would only pay for their telemedicine system, the system that they supported, not a local doctor's telemedicine clinic. And I think that doing it locally makes all the difference in the world, because you're talking to someone that knows your health history or can get records or can get you into the office the next day if it's necessary to do so, if it's a night call, or say, for example. So we have a lot of advantages if we keep telemedicine locally, and that's what we're going to try to do at Hilltop.
Okay. We're here with Dr. Mark Pierce, who is has Hilltop Medical Clinics here. And when we get back, I want to talk about testing for COVID-19, how you're doing that, and how it was with the first guy, or first woman, I think it was, when that came up, and what you thought when they said, "Hey, would you mind doing this?" that kind of thing. And, of course, Randall Hempling is with me as my co-host. And this portion of the show is brought to you by River Commons Senior Living. No, you can't get a personalized tour there. And this isn't an assisted living facility. This is for active seniors at River Commons. And, you know, one of the things about when you live at River Commons, you don't have to worry about toilet paper or paper towels or those kind of things. They kind of take care of that for you and your meals. You know, they three meals, three or four or five meals, whatever you want a day there at River Commons. I'm a gourmet chef. They're pet friendly. A lot of people use this as a place to kind of like they have their stuff there and then they can go out and travel and see other places and then come back to their home. They don't have to worry about if the yard's cut or the plumbing's there or the roof is fixed or any of that. All of this at River Commons Senior Living. Worry less, smile more. Give Brian a call at 238-5981. We'll be right back after these messages, 8:15 in the morning, 48 degrees out there, today on the 21st.
It's me. I'm in California dreaming about going out to eat just a burger with cheese or a shaken margarita, baby, back ribs from Chili's. Hello, can you hear me? I am shouting out to neighbors who I used to like to see when we were outside and free. Is there something else to watch besides the news and Finding Dory, the social distance?
COVID-19 has forced our community to tread through unprecedented times. This is Tracy Edwards, CEO for Redding Rancheria. Through drought, wildfire, and devastation, we have banded together and became stronger. The challenges we are yet to face remain unknown, but what is known is that this is a community of survivors. Our citizens are dedicated to rallying behind the community in times of crisis. It is the same dedication to our community that will help us face COVID-19. We ask that you follow CDC guidelines and to continue practicing social distancing. We are all in this together.
You may have seen the sign. You may have even driven by it today. Hi, I'm Rick Gendra, owner of Gendra 76 on the corner of Cypress and Bocelli. We've been a family-owned automotive care and repair business since 1979. And yes, we still pump your gas and clean your glass. Stop by anytime, let us show you what old-fashioned service is all about. And try our app to save up to 25 cents per gallon of quality 76 gas.
The City of Reading has provided utilities to our current casino by agreement for the past 25 years. During this time, we have been one of the city's top commercial customers. In addition to paying for our actual utility usage, our agreement requires us to contribute to the city's general fund to offset impacts from our current casino. This has resulted in us contributing about $3.5 million to the city's general fund to help pay for vital public services that benefit us all. Reading Rancheria, proud to play our part.
Aloha, this is Kevin, Operations Manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
So what's Scorecard Scribbling's all about?
I was scared for my life at that point. I remember looking to the right and seeing all the medical supplies there, and I'm just thinking, are these they going to cut off a leg? What are we doing here?
I had a coach that would come up to me on the plane, stick his hand out. I knew what he wanted. Who am I not to give him to him? Like, I thought, okay, job security.
We came to the ballpark every day. We knew we were going to win. It's a great experience, a great feeling to be on a club like that.
Scorecard Scribblings with Brent Weber, Wednesday night from 6 to 7 on KCNR.
Join the conversation online in our chat room, KCNR1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number, 819 in the morning here on the 21st. 50 degrees out there, going up to 81. This portion of the show brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center. While elective surgeries are not going on there, or very few are going on there, they're open for business when it comes to serious life-threatening emergencies. Whether it's of car wrecks or and have to be fixed up or chest and heart problems, Shasta Regional Medical Center is there. They're also treating the COVID-19 patients as they come through. They have a triage system that is like when you fly into Fallujah. Set up like that, you're not going to get in the hospital. Also, if one of your loved ones goes there and unfortunately has to be admitted into the hospital, you're not going to get in there. You can just wave from the street. You can't even send flowers. That's how they're taking this pretty seriously. Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community, and courage. Okay, I'm here with Randall Hemplin as my co-host and Dr. Mark Pierce. Mark, you were the first one to test a COVID-19 patient, not a patient, but to test somebody for COVID-19 in this town.
That's right. I got a call from the health department, and they were interested in testing one of the people who was exposed on a cruise who had come back to our community, and they wanted to know whether she was positive or negative. Probably our first test and trace concept there, where they wanted to know if she was positive, then they needed to hunker down all of the people that had she had exposed from the time she left the cruise to getting home. And fortunately for us, that test was negative. It was an interesting experience. I was nuclear after, even though I was all dressed up and, I felt safe. I had to get a few criticisms from people watching my technique on the TV, but the interesting part was that the clinic emptied out and hardly anyone came to the clinic the rest of that day after I tested them outside of the building on the street. But nevertheless, I should have anticipated how people were going to respond. At that point, there still is a lot of fear in contracting this virus.
You know, I'm getting a lot of comments here in my chat room. I'm going to start reading them because some of them aren't very nice. Everybody has this COVID-19 has affected our country dramatically, as we all know. And some people say, well, they've had this down in I don't know who they are. They've said that this virus has been around since September. Down in, the Bay Area and other places. Yet when I talk to people who are, doctors and scientists, and I check my facts, that this, this wasn't around back in November, December. This is new.
We can do the math. And these things initially, when they're not suppressed, they expand geometrically. Of course, it depends on the character of the virus itself. But this one has the ability to spread geometrically and exponentially, and the numbers go up dramatically. It only has about a 14-day span, to spread when a person's contagious. And so it would really start to reveal itself in a short period of time. And you can look at the numbers when it got here from Europe and then and where it is now. And in the last month, it's exploded in our country. We have friends in New York, and it's real when your friend says, everyone in New York knows somebody who's died of the virus. Everyone knows somebody who's died of this virus. And so this is serious. The question is, how can we suppress it and be safe? And there's still a lot of problems with the strategies that we're taking to try to suppress. There's two concepts here. There's stay safe at home, you know, shelter at home, shelter in place. I get these things all confused. And then there's the trace, test and trace. And we're going to get a whole bunch of new data now about asymptomatic people, people who have had this infection without symptoms. And that's an Achilles heel for us in some ways in terms of what strategy do we have going forward. Because test and trace is not as effective if we have a lot of asymptomatic people with this infection, because we do not have the resources to test everyone. Test and trace means if a person gets symptomatic, for me, almost any respiratory infection now in Reading should be considered for a test. And if that person's positive, then all those people that they've exposed need to also be quarantined. And so that's how aggressive we need to be with test and trace. Now, if it's asymptomatic spread and we don't know who's spreading it, then we have to all shelter in place, and this is going to extend for a lot longer period of time.
Hey, Randall, we're talking about, I think I saw something that we had asked for 3,000 test kits.
Yeah.
And we got 100.
Right.
And then they had to make sure those were working and all that, because some of the test kits that are coming in, that cough was from coffee. I hope.
We didn't duck.
I hope. I turned away. If we need, what, 198,000 test kits here? If we have 198,000 people in the county, do we need to test everybody?
I don't think you need to test everybody, but I think you need to test everybody who's either frontline responder. I think every policeman and every fireman and every EMT and every doctor and nurse and nurse aide and housekeeper in a hospital should be tested first to determine what their level of risk is. Then I would make sure that you tested everybody else that was going to be touching that which touches me. I would test every restaurant worker. I would test the people in the grocery stores. I mean, I would start with that level. I would not necessarily be the first person tested.
Yeah.
I would probably be the last, even though my age. It doesn't do me any good to know whether I have it or don't have it, because if I'm sick, I'm gonna take care of myself. I stay at home, except I do go out for at least 2 hours a day, and I walk. I walk 5 to 8 miles every day.
And I got you in here today, but we practice social distancing in
here. Yeah, we do. I mean, I don't think, you know, being outside and being alone is, I think, just fine.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm not.
Well, that's interesting what you said, and Mark, you can roll in on this too, but when we get to test kits, if we want to start opening up places, then everybody in the, say at the restaurants, they get tested, you know, that they're COVID-free. You're talking about people working in grocery stores. I mean, those people are also on the front lines.
But they need to be tested. Now, restaurant workers need to be tested every day with a thermometer. They don't need a COVID test. They need to be sure that they're not sick.
But can you? But we've said you can be carrying this.
I know.
And not have symptoms.
I know. But if you've got a fever, you shouldn't be serving in a restaurant.
Right.
You shouldn't be working anywhere if you've got a fever.
True.
I think we do need to treat this a little bit like there are outbreaks. At Hilltop Medical Clinic, we at first, you know, testing supplies were thin. We found out that the supplies that we had that we could use for the influenza could be used for the COVID test. And Quest Labs went around and gathered up all of the media that they could find that hadn't been used for influenza and brought it to our clinic. And at first, of course, things were slow, 10 days to get a test result back. But now through Quest Labs, we're getting them back in 48 hours. And, of course, if you've been directly exposed or qualify to be tested locally, you can get it back sometimes later in the day, sometimes in a 24-hour period. We have about 80 test kits at Hilltop right now. So anybody who has a respiratory symptom, shortness of breath, cough, fever, should come in and get tested, because we are in our town, in Reading, we are kind of at the test and trace level. We've had three outbreaks, the church, the bank, and the veterans. And we need to be on alert for the next outbreak. And when it comes out, we need to suppress it as quickly as possible. Now, again, this is assuming we're not having asymptomatic spread, which is, again, that Achilles heel that we're starting to worry about now. But up until now, test and trace seems to be kind of the way that we're going. And but it doesn't work if people don't come in and get tested, or if they're afraid to get tested.
Well, we've already had one of our people get tested. And they gave her a COVID test. She's got three young kids. Yeah. But it seems like the young kids are, they just, you know, they, well, I think they just kind of shake this one off.
We have to start, people on the shelter in place, you have to think of yourself as a unit, or what we call on our website, a pod. And if anybody in that pod becomes sick, the whole unit has to quarantine themselves. And so if you have a, I saw a family, I was walking on the river trail, and it was 25 people, and they were obviously one unit, one pod. That's a lot of people to have to stay home when one person's positive, because you can't know the situation unless you were to test everyone, and then you don't know if they're going to get infected on the next day and the next day. So it almost requires shelter. Test and trace requires that everyone in that unit, that pod, quarantine themselves until we know otherwise. And so if your pod gets too big, it gets very, very difficult to know what's going on. I was worried about the veterans home when we first discovered the outbreak there, whether or not it was going to be able to be contained. And they did do a good job over there, but they didn't have enough back in those that date just a few weeks ago. They were more limited in supplies in terms of who they could test. It wouldn't have been a bad idea to test everybody in that whole place that day, but we didn't have the supplies to do that back then. So they had to kind of cherry pick and try to be very careful. And it did move around the halls of that hospital.
Well, you know, and I can speak of the Veterans Hospital down in New Mexico. They've got their COVID-19 cases separated by a floor. They put them all on one floor there.
Yes.
And they lock it off. Nobody gets in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to isolate this. But it seems like our veterans home here that had three employees that got it, and one of the people that lived there, it seems like it stopped.
Right.
We have not seen that spread. So
yes, I think that fires out, and yeah. I think the church did a good job and the bank did a good job. And so far in Reading, but that doesn't mean we can let our guard down. How to start to relax restrictions is going to be very difficult. We're not quite there yet, but it's
I want to talk about that when we get back. We've had the government tell us that we cannot do many things that's guaranteed to us under the Constitution. I'm going to talk about that when we get back. Okay. This portion of the show brought to you by SST Oil. SST Oil, you know, we don't think about SST Oil. They've been here in our city for 52 years. They've been doing a great job. They support so many of our great causes around here. But they also deliver... They also deliver the mail. You know, they deliver gas and oil, diesel, kerosene, jet fuel for helicopters and all this. They are got their truckers out on the road 7 days a week delivering. Sometimes we forget that our truckers are out there also on the front lines making sure that we have food and toilet paper, even though people buy the toilet paper out in crazy amounts. But SST Oil has been here since 1952. It's an employee-owned company, and I can guarantee you that the president of the company, Bill Casparino, is out on the road probably helping things keep moving. He can still drive when he wants to, and Dana's running it while he's gone. SST Oil. They are always looking for good drivers. Give them a call at 241-1167. We'll be right back. Randall Hempley and Dr. Mark Pierce.
Lock the door, hit the floor, the family lockdown boogie. Incarcerated and blood-related, family lockdown boogie. Dancing queen in quarantine, family lockdown boogie. We can't go out, so we're all about family lockdown boogie.
value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, "Our customers are warm friends." We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision.
Thankfully, it appears that Coachmaster Repair is an essential business and fully prepared to repair any minor or major damage to your vehicle. With the invasion of the coronavirus, Coachmaster is taking all precautions for the safety of our employees and our customers. We have closed all traffic through our lobby to ensure proper social distancing and will be disinfecting your vehicle upon arrival and before delivery. With the effects and response from the virus, we feel fortunate to be able to maintain all of our employees. They will be here to provide all services required for a proper and complete repair. These are uncharted territories. Let's all work together for a full, safe, and prosperous recovery.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
KCNR, Free Fire Radio.
That justice is the one thing you should always find. You got to saddle up your balls. You've got to draw a hard line.
When the gunsmoke settles, we'll sing a victory tune. And we'll all meet back at the local saloon.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. 50 degrees out there, going up to 81, 837 in the morning. I'm here with Dr. Mark Pierce. Randall Hempling trotted out of here. He's going out on his morning 5 to 8 mile walk in the open by himself with his wife. But he said, no, we social distance. We're not, walking, holding hands, which is sad because Barbara's such a nice person. I'm here with Dr. Mark Pierce, and Mark is the first one that tested for COVID-19, and you're still testing.
Absolutely. We're doing many tests a day, 20, 25 tests a day of people who have respiratory conditions at the main Hilltop Clinic on Hilltop Drive. And we do the testing outside so that it's safe. You don't have to worry about being exposed to anyone else. We're all trying to socially distance to be safe. And I think it's working. It's hard each day you watch the data, but we're going to need another week of data here in California to know how it's going for us. We're hoping that it's going down, but right now it seems to be holding. We've stopped the rise, but we're stuck kind of on a level ground here now, where every day seems to be about the same number of people affected. Mm-hmm. So,
Shasta County, we've been, we went into the lockdown. We haven't had a new case in 4 days. That's very good.
That's correct. And so now we're worried about people who have to leave town on emergencies, because you're supposed to shelter in place unless it's absolutely essential for you. But if you leave town to take care of someone or for other reasons, when you come back to Reading, your obligation is to stay home for 2 weeks, to not go outside of your home. I mean, you know, obviously you can go for walks, but don't go to the grocery store. Don't go to work. If you leave and come back, don't bring it back to Reading and be responsible for our next little outbreak that we have here. The first one came from Oregon. The lady that exposed people at the Veterans Clinic had been recently in Oregon, and that's what had triggered her test. So now we're worried about people bringing it to our community, assuming that we're quiet here and don't have any active infections going on at this time. So if you leave and come back, go to ground 2 weeks. And it's not too much to ask, because once this thing flares up, it's very difficult to put out those fires.
You know, I'm kind of like most Americans, that I'm willing to put up with this, you know, for a period of time. But at the, I've got to be able to see that there's going to be an end to this. This cannot go on through the summer. Businesses are dying. We're going to not see businesses coming back. Our economy is in the crapper. But there's got to be a way of getting this thing open. Some people look at it from the constitutional side. I can't meet with my friends. I can't go to church. I can't, I can buy a gun, but I can't go out and shoot it on a range. I mean, it's all of these things that we're giving up, and now we're hearing things like, oh, we can put trackers on people that have it to make sure that they stay where they're supposed to be. We can use, technology coming through your computer. I mean, they can do all of these things that we're seeing coming out here that is just entirely taking away your constitutional rights. I mean, and this is just your opinion, Mark, I understand that, but you're a pretty common sense guy. We've got to have a plan here that says we've got to start opening it up.
Well, I think that when we shut down, we were aggressive in a sense that everybody was asked to shelter in place and only go to work if it's essential work. And there are fairness issues, and we are trying, the government's trying to be fair by being very generous with unemployment insurance and other ways to shore up people's personal finances during the crisis. So everybody's trying to get this right, but there are going to be pockets of people who aren't treated as fairly or are suffering or struggling. If it's just a personal desire to do something, that's going to be last, you know. I think as we start to re-implement and open up, as we say, it's going to need to be more essential services. For example, the truckers are struggling because on the road, they no longer can go and shower and sleep, and it's miserable out there being a trucker because of all of the truck stops and how crippled they are. So if it's safe, if they can do it in a new way that's safe for them to open up their showers and they can get a better meal, those things are going to need to be addressed first. I try to get my car washed. Now, that's not as an essential service, but it's something that could be done safer or safely. So we're going to have to look at it from that point of view. And it's going to be difficult because there's going to be fairness issues that come up left and right. Ironically, for a lot of employees, being on unemployment is a better deal financially for them than working. When you look at the extra money that they get now on
extra $600 a week or something like that. And that's going to be a problem too, because some of them are making more money than they were when they were working. So you've got to address that.
That is going to be an issue.
But what about the ideas that, okay, I've got, you know, I have my regular organization. There's 50 of us, 60 of us that we'd like to meet. What about this, people wearing masks and gloves and spreading out and all this? Is that still a risk like that?
Well, we're still learning. I think we'll know more in 2 weeks about the risk of these groups. We know if you don't use any protection and go out in a large group that that's a disaster. And again, the concept of a pod, the more different people that you expose yourself to, the harder it is to trace back if one of those people in that group. If you're in a group of 50 and one traces positive or tests positive, you don't know who else in that group has taken it back to their own personal family pods. And it really gets complicated to trace when you have too large a group. It is safe if you have a couple or a family that you want to exclusively interact with, to be able to help with some of the mental stress of being isolated. That's a safe way to do it. Meet with the same family and only that family during this crisis. And then it's not that hard to trace back. Again, one person gets positive, everyone in that group, both families need to quarantine until we know better. And that's the problem.
Okay. Yeah. She's telling me that we have to take a break here.
Okay.
Take a quick break. This portion of the show is brought to you by a business that's not open, Cypress Square Barbershop. Veteran-owned business that gives discounts to seniors and veterans. The only place I've had my hair cut since I've lived here for, 13 years now. And I'm not getting my hair cut anywhere else. Randall offered to loan me clippers. And then that would mean Linda would get to my hair with clippers. And as much as I love and trust her, I think I'm just going to let her just continue trimming around the ears and shaving the back of my neck. And then I'll, Ted Leidy, I'll have a mullet at the time this thing's over.
Time to do things a little differently.
A little bit differently here. But they work on appointments, and I do have an appointment on May 1st. I hope I can keep that appointment. 244-9478, Man's Last Stronghold, Cypress Square Barbershop. All right, we'll be right back after these messages, 8:45 in the morning here on the 21st, and 50 degrees going up to 81 today.
Quarantine is where we're at. Stay at home till Corona ends. Don't forget to wash your hands.
Get your morning update with us, Armstrong and Getty, 9 to 12 on KCNR.
Tune in to North State Now Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Our show features yours truly, Linda Bott, with Michelle Slade, Enjoy the Magazine, and Dr. Orna Gill, featuring music, art, health, wellness, shopping, and more.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Hey guys, I'm Bob the Drop. Welcome to my podcast. Do you like water? If you do, you're going to love me. I'm pure and simple. I'm talking refreshing. Yeah. Spent 500 years in a glacier. The boy was that cold. I never was and never will be tap water. Nope. Bottled at the source, the base of Mount Shasta. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. You can try me by calling 1-800-922-6227. Mount Shasta Spring Water.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Learn more about our shows and hosts. Check us out online at kcnr1460.com.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the station. KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. 605-4567 is our phone number. It's 50 degrees out there. It's going to go up to 81 today here on the 21st. We're here with Dr. Mark Pierce, who is the first one to test COVID-19 here in town. I don't know if that's but that is a distinction, because you were the one that was willing to step outside and test the first one, and others had turned them down at that point. Of course, that day, the rest of the day, nobody came in to Hilltop on Hilltop.
Yes, that's why it's been interesting to see each individual's response to this. Some are very fearful and probably justifiably so, and others a little more nonchalant because it hasn't affected them directly. And again, I say, if you talk to somebody in New York, everyone in New York knows somebody who's died of this in the last month, and that's dramatic. It's serious, and we're doing our best. I've been excited about the cooperation that we've had. Some of the big businesses, Quest Lab, I keep saying, they've gone above and beyond. The hospitals are, everybody is sacrificing, and all the individuals are, you know, out of work are sacrificing. So we're all in this together. We have to remember this is like a fight. It's a little bit like a war. And if we go at it together, we're much more likely to succeed. Let's not fracture apart and start fighting against ourselves.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Richard, good morning.
Good morning. Let's be frank. Someone coming back from Manila is a lot more exposed to the disease than somebody coming from Salinas, for example. And people coming back after seeing the Klan in the Philippines are not under any 14-day rule. And who do I see working at the VA clinics and the nursing home? The same. They're trying to be exported to the United States. So they've got their registered nursing credentials, I guess, good enough to get a civil service job here. But I know what I've seen, not only here, but in Long Beach and just in the Navy hospital, just all over. I mean, that's the truth of it. I'm more susceptible to this COVID-19 from somebody coming from some foreign country than I am somebody from going down to Lake Tahoe, for example. That's all I got to say.
Okay.
Well, that's a good point.
Thanks a lot, Richard. It's a good point.
There are some places that are higher risk, but again, Redding, our community, has had the infection spread here from Oregon and Los Angeles. And not China, but obviously it originated there. But now it's starting to ping-pong around our whole community, and no one can know who has it. And this asymptomatic spread is even another factor that we have to still consider. It's good that people are getting it and not as sick. It's bad that we don't know who they are.
Should we trust the statistics? Because, well, you know, every day something else comes out that says there's been, you know, this thing is, you know, as we said, we have no idea how many people have had this and have lived through it.
Well, the projections are always going to magnify the further out you try to project. And I think that the only thing you can really know for sure is when the hospitals start to pile up with patients that you've got a problem. And we know that sheltering in place will stop that, as it has. We're not sure whether or not test and trace is going to work with asymptomatic people out there. And yet we use the tools that we think we have right now until we know otherwise. Certainly if you're sick, it doesn't matter if you've been tested, you need to stay home. And everyone in your unit needs to stay home if it's a respiratory infection. Otherwise, you don't know what you're spreading.
They're talking about finding a vaccine that could be a year away.
Yes, and that's there are problems. That we want to be hopeful, but that's so far off, I don't know that I would start counting on that. Our flu vaccine's only about 50% effective, so a vaccine certainly can minimize, but it's not going to completely get rid of this risk. That's the sad part about once it got out of the box from China into the rest of the world, really, is that now it's not likely that we ever will rid ourselves of this virus. Yet I always stay optimistic. Maybe we can. The first two, the SARS and the MERS, they're gone. And if we can get this one to go extinct, that would be great. We seem to be good at making other things go extinct. Maybe we can do that to the virus.
Well, you said during the break that you think that this one is if we, you know, influenza is going to be outcompeted by COVID, or at least some kind of form
of it. That's the scientist in me. If we look at how things spread, how infectious they are, and if the same measures should affect both viruses, it's going to be disproportionately harder on the flu than it is on the COVID. The COVID is a little bit more stealthy, and the flu not as much. So we may, the flu may go away, and I have to hope for that. And that doesn't necessarily balance things out, but it's a little win for all of the efforts that we're making. And you can ask yourself, losing, you know, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 people a year from the flu, why weren't we more serious about the flu in the past? I've heard people say it the other way around. Well, we're already losing 50,000 people from the flu. Why don't we accept losing 50,000 from this one? Well, do the math. That's 100,000 total. But I think we should look at it the other way around. Why aren't we doing a better job of suppressing disease and illness if we know how to do it?
If the difference, though, and the statistic I saw yesterday was we lose 30,000, 35,000 to the flu, and this COVID-19 has already killed that many in 2 months.
Yeah,
there's a difference there. If you got to look at it, how much more dangerous it is, but we still have no idea until we get all these testing kits how where it is out there, and then the people that have been exposed to it have it but show no symptoms. They're talking about using their blood
right.
as a form of mm-hmm. antibodies to start researching it.
And
like
they
this.
Certainly can get back into the workforce. There should be a pathway. Now, you know, we're talking about how long does immunity last. I'm pretty certain there should be some immunity, otherwise they wouldn't get over the infection in the first place. But, you know, can they get reinfected? Is the infection just suppressed? Is it going to come back out? And how long are they immune? With regular coronaviruses, it's only a couple of years. So, and then all the people that have gone through this are eligible to do it again.
So it could mutate, and so it goes into another one, just like the regular flu does.
Now, again, being
we
hopeful,
can't continue to shut down our country every 2 years.
No, and we have to stay optimistic. I think, you know, we have to know that what we're doing is worthwhile, and I think we have suppressed the geometric spread of this virus. We're now probably on a 1-to-1 spread, and if we keep this up a few more weeks, we should see it decline. That's my hope. I always stay optimistic, and I hope the flu goes away, and I hope this one will too, but time will tell.
Okay. We've been with Dr. Mark Pierce today. Mark was the first one to, he tested the very first COVID-19 patient. Was that, did they come out positive or negative?
They were negative.
They were negative.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it was, it must have been quite the experience, masking up and...
Well, the response was what was fascinating to me, and I feel good. I feel good about my participation.
Because you're still testing people every day.
Still testing, and I feel good about Hilltop. We're doing our part, and that's why I feel good.
One thing that people don't realize when we talk about when people are talking about jobs and all this, that many of the medical personnel in hospitals throughout this country have been laid off. Because when they've shut down the hospitals for elective surgery, that's what keeps the lights on.
Well, they've been hurt both ways. A lot of people have died practicing the medicine, and then now we're being laid off.
Yeah.
So it's a double-edged sword for us.
Okay.
Yes.
Everybody, I know there's different viewpoints on this, and next week we'll have somebody that comes in and has got a totally different viewpoint on COVID-19, about just how dangerous it is and what are we doing, what are we giving up to keep ourselves safe. Is that something we'll ever gain back? I don't think that's a problem, in my opinion, about gaining it back. Anyway, hey, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Let's all be good guys and take care of each other out there.
Thanks, Carl.
Gonna stand my ground.